living here 9 years. I went back to Africa. It was the 1st of January. And it was very hot there, about 40 degrees. You can imagine I left England fully loaded on my body, wearing a lot of stuff to keep myself warm with a very long coat. But when we go to Kenya, I didn't know where to throw all my stuff. I was boiling. Yeah. Well, we'll get used to it. We thank God. Today I want to look at two small things: faithfulness and patience. We believe in a God who is faithful, and He's also patient with us. Time to time, without planning, we find ourselves astray from the right path. He's patient with us. He knows our motives, our intentions. He knows everything. Even when we are in a place where we were not supposed to be, He's a Father. He knows. He knows everything. He's very patient with us. And when we turn the coin to look at the other side, we found that Christians or human beings, we are the one who are not faithful enough. We are not patient enough. Vis-a-vis ourselves, our neighbors, our friends, family members, fellow Christians, unbelievers, and toward God as well. We usually fail when it comes to faithfulness and to patience. But Jesus died and He rose again. He gave us victory over this sinful body and sinful nature. And when we accept Him, and we go through the baptismal waters, we come out of those waters, there is a verse in the Bible that says that we put on Christ. The same way we put on our clothes, we put on Christ. And that's how Paul, Apostle Paul, could say, it's not me longer who's living, but it's Christ living His life in me. Why? Because I have put on Christ. But before reflecting that Christ-like to the world, there is a process to go through. Among the things that we have to hold on through the process is faithfulness and patience. Of course, you can number many things that we need in this process of becoming Christ-like, reflecting to the world the Christ that we have put on. I heard a preacher talking about a mother and his son. They were in the car driving around almost the whole day. And in the evening, when they came back home, The son spoke to the mother saying, "Mommy, it seems as if today is a very different day." And the mother said, "Why?" The son said, "Because we didn't meet idiots in the road." So the mother was curious. She said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "No, you know, Mom, when I go out with Dad, when he picks me up from school, he sees idiots everywhere when he's driving." "But today is a special day. We didn't come across even one idiot." Of course, both parents were Christians. But one was seeing idiots everywhere, and another, she knew what she was doing. She could see only people who need help. She was patient with them, and she could not open her mouth and qualify them as idiots. I laughed when I heard it, and it was a challenge to me. Say, when I'm driving and somebody classifies as a mad driver, how do I react? Do I see in him an idiot, or am I patient enough? Praise God. I hope, Zina, you brought your Bible. So you're going to help me. It's quite a long reading. Psalm 39.
Psalm 39, a Psalm of David. I said, "I will take heed and guard my ways, that I might not sin with my tongue. I will muzzle my mouth as with a bridle, while the wicked are before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace without profit, and had no comfort away from God, while my distress was renewed. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burnt, and I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end, and to appreciate the measure of my days, what it is. Let me know and realize how frail I am, how transient is my stay here. Behold, you have made my days as short as handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing.
Living here 9 years, I went back to Africa. It was the 1st of January, and it was very hot there, about 40 degrees. You can imagine, I left England fully loaded on my body, wearing a lot of stuff to keep myself warm, with a very long coat. But when we go to Kenya, I didn't know where to throw all my stuff. I was boiling. Yeah. Well, we'll get used to it. We thank God. Today I want to look at two small things: faithfulness and patience. We believe in a God who is faithful, and He's also patient with us. Time to time, without planning, we find ourselves astray from the right path. He's patient with us. He knows our motives, our intentions. He knows everything. Even when we are in a place where we were not supposed to be, He's a Father. He knows. He knows everything. He's very patient with us. And when we turn the coin to look at the other side, we found that Christians or human beings, we are the ones who are not faithful enough. We are not patient enough. Vis-a-vis ourselves, our neighbors, our friends, family members, fellow Christians, unbelievers, and toward God as well, we usually fail when it comes to faithfulness and to patience. But Jesus died and He rose again. He gave us victory over this sinful body and sinful nature. And when we accept Him and we go through the baptismal waters, we come out of those waters, there is a verse in the Bible that says that we put on Christ the same way we put on our clothes. We put on Christ. And that's how Paul, Apostle Paul, could say, it's not me longer who's living, but it's Christ living His life in me. Why? Because I have put on Christ. But before reflecting that Christ-like to the world, there is a process to go through. Among the things that we have to hold on through the process, it's faithfulness and patience. Of course, you can number many things that we need in this process of becoming Christ-like, reflecting to the world the Christ that we have put on. I heard a preacher talking about a mother and his son. They were in the car driving around almost the whole day. And in the evening, when they came back home, the son spoke to the mother saying, "Mommy, it seems as if today is a very different day." And the mother said, "Why?" The son said, "Because we didn't meet idiots in the road." So the mother was curious. She said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "No, you know, Mom, when I go out with Dad, when he picks me up from school, he sees idiots everywhere when he's driving." But today is a special day. We didn't come across even one idiot. Of course, both parents were Christians. But one was seeing idiots everywhere, and another, she knew what she was doing. She could see only people who need help. She was patient with them, and she could not open her mouth and qualify them as idiots. I laughed when I heard it, and it was a challenge to me. Say, when I'm driving and somebody classifies as a mad driver, how do I react? Do I see in him an idiot, or am I patient enough? Praise God. I hope, Zina, you brought your Bible. So you're going to help me. It's quite a long reading. Psalm 39.
Psalm 39, a Psalm of David. I said, I will take heed and guard my ways, that I might not sin with my tongue. I will muzzle my mouth as with a bridle, while the wicked are before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace without profit, and had no comfort away from God, while my distress was renewed. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burnt, and I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end, and to appreciate the measure of my days, what it is. Let me know and realize how frail I am, how transient is my stay here. Behold, you have made my days as short as handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing in your sight. Truly, every man at his best is merely a breath. Selah, pause and think calmly of that. Surely every man walks to and fro like a shadow in a pantomime. Surely for purity and emptiness he is in turmoil. Each one heaps up riches, not knowing who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for and expect? My hope and expectation are in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the scorn and reproach of the self-confident fool. I am dumb, I open not my mouth, for it is you who has done it. Remove your stroke away from me. I am consumed by the conflict and the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct and chasten man for sin, you waste his beauty like a moth, and what is dear to him consumes away. Surely every man is a mere breath. Selah, pause and think calmly of that. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears. For I am your passing guest, a temporary resident, as all my fathers were. O look away from me and spare me, that I may recover cheerfulness and encouraging strength, and know gladness before I go and am no more.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Seal it in our heart. Help us to understand your heart, O Lord. We know, as David said, that you are mindful of him. You are indeed mindful of us. You cherish us, O Lord. Everything that concerns us concerns you as well. We want to remind ourselves of your faithfulness, O Lord, knowing that you've been so patient toward us, O God, even when we went astray of your way. Lord, help us today. Let the Holy Spirit take control of our mind and give me, O Lord, the anointing needed to utter your word the way it ought to be. We thank you, Father, because you are in the move by the power of the Holy Spirit in the midst of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a very important and interesting text. David was going through a particular season. I don't know if it was here where last time I said that within a year you have different seasons. Even at the beginning of the year, the Lord might give you a promise that the year will be a year of completion or fulfillment or breakthrough or blessing. But you have 12 months within a year. And those 12 months are divided into seasons. What the Lord has promised you shall indeed come to pass, but within a particular season. It's not that the whole year will be covered with that promise. So from January to December, you'll be going through the breakthrough. No. Before reaching the breakthrough or reaching any blessing the Lord has promised you, or healing, or I don't know what you have received from the Lord as a promise, you'll go through different seasons. And some of those seasons can be very tough. Naturally speaking, when you try to analyze, looking at those tough seasons, you can easily tell that it's just the opposite of what the Lord has promised you. And that can put even a big question mark upon what the Lord said to you. If it was through a prophecy, you can start thinking, was it a real prophecy? Or it was the mind of that person who opened the mouth and speak out the prophecy? If it was through your usual meditation, devotion in the morning or at any time of the day, you can put again a question mark saying, maybe it was just my mind. It had nothing to do with a rhema, a promise from the Lord. Your mind can be under lot of pressure of doubt. You can doubt everything. You can doubt even the love that God has for you, the care that He has for you. If your spirit reminds you a particular sin that you've committed, even though the Lord has forgiven you, you can start accusing yourself that the Lord has rejected me because of that particular sin. He's no longer looking at me. He's very distant from me. No. Today's message is, you have to go through different seasons before what the Lord has promised you come to pass. I believe that you have some promises from the Lord. You got them maybe through your Bible reading or through a word of knowledge from a member of this church or anybody else who's not a member of this church or watching television. At school, at work, wherever the Lord chose to meet with you. Can you remember any promise that God gave you. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. David, as far as he's concerned here in this text, the season that he was going through was not a pleasant one. It was a very difficult season. Everything fell apart in his life. He was feeling pain deep inside his soul. The season was a very tough one for him. Hear what he says in verse 3. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Deep inside, he was feeling really unpleasant. Pain. I don't know if you ever come across that kind of situation, but I believe every one of us has been there. For men, it's not usual for us to cry when we're going through a very difficult situation. We tend to absorb everything. To hold on to ourselves. To be men. But sometimes it becomes too much that there is no way for you to hold it. The pain, you can feel it, is boiling deep inside. And sometimes you go down on your knees, you start praying, you don't have words to say. Because pain has filled your heart. You are down on your knees, but you don't have any word to say. Because of pain. And sometimes you can come through that situation of releasing, and then you cry. I heard a preacher a few years ago criticizing people who, when they are praying, they cry. Say, shut your mouth and just start praising the Lord. Say, poor preacher, you are so popular, but you don't know what you're saying. Maybe you are among exceptions, but I don't think that here on earth there is anyone who makes exception. All of us, we go through situations in one way or another where you're going to feel pain deep in your heart. Like fire burning deep inside. Where you question the faithfulness of God. The care of God. The love of God. And you can say, He has forgotten me. No, He hasn't. He hasn't. Why? He is mindful of you. English is your language. I don't know. How can you define mindful? To be mindful of somebody. God is mindful of you. If I'm right, then God's mind is full of you. He's thinking about you. That's the God that we are praising this evening in this place. Of course, I may have pain in my body. That cannot make me believe that God is not mindful of me because of the pain that I'm feeling in my flesh. The need that I'm having cannot convince me that God is not mindful of me. Things that are falling apart in my life, if they start convincing me that God is no longer mindful of me, then I have to double check myself, because I'm starting to go in the wrong way. God is God. He cannot change. We human beings, we do change time to time according to the season we are in. But God remains the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And David stated clearly that God is mindful of him. But the same person, we find him here in trouble. How could he be in trouble while God is mindful of him? These things have been written down for me and you to be edified. If he could confess that God is mindful of him, and here we find him in trouble, what about me and you? We belong to God. He is mindful of us. That cannot prevent trouble to come in our lives. But when the trouble comes, how do we react? Verse 1. I said, in another translation, it's written, I have resolved in my heart that I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with muzzle while the wicked are before me. He made a personal resolution. A resolution, a personal resolution. I said, I will guard my ways. It's easy to rebel when you're going through a bad season. You can rebel against God. I remember my young sister in Canada, one of the holiest people I ever seen on planet Earth. One of those people that when you look at the kind of life, communion with the Lord, you feel challenged in your relationship with the Lord. She went through a lot. As David, she felt fire burning deep inside. So she confessed to me, she said, I have to confess. And I said, what is going on? She said, I felt like sinning
purposely for God to remember me. You see where she got? At that place where everything is dark all around. And she thinks that God has totally, totally forgotten her. But she knew that God can support sin. So, in order to provoke God, she felt like purposely falling in sin. So God will look back at her and say, oh, you are here. And then pay attention. But she knew that it was not from the Lord. So she phoned me to confess. She said, my brother, pray for me. I need God's strength. I need courage to keep moving on. Amen. What kind of season are you going through? All vulnerable to sin. It's not when blessings are there, everything is shining, everything is brilliant, that you are more vulnerable to sin as a Christian. No. Because your spirit is light to praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can speak in tongues from morning till the evening. Because everything is cool. Moving smoothly. You're not facing challenges to pay your bills. Because you have enough to pay your bills. You have enough to clothe yourself, to feed yourself, to put petrol in your tank, to pay your rent or your mortgage and stuff. You can praise the Lord from morning till the evening. But when you're going in a very difficult season where everything is dark, as one songwriter say, when even your gut feeling turns blue. I mean, you see nothing working at all. And when you look very far, you can't even see the purpose of living. You wonder why you are here on earth. God who created you and God who chose for me and you to be here this evening. This is the message. Take courage. He's not fed up of you. And he's not done with you yet. Take courage. He knows your situation. He knows your tribulations. He knows everything concerning you. But we have an example here of David. In spite of going through difficult season, he made the decision. He resolved in his heart not to sin against God. And in particular, when you read very well, I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. He chose to restrain his tongue. He chose to put restrictions all around his mouth. To make sure that his tongue will not sin against God. Well, when we're going through those difficult situations, before even falling in sin in action, we start with our tongue complaining against God. complaining against God. We can even cross the line, qualifying God as a bad father, a careless father, an unloving God. But remember, God is faithful. God is faithful. The strategy that David used here, he reminded to himself his covenant with God. When you remind yourself your covenant with God, you're going to receive strength in it. Look back what the Lord has done for you. Look back when you made the decision to follow God, to accept Jesus in your life, to turn your back against sin, to live a righteous life. When you remind yourself things like this, your covenant with the Lord, it's going to stir up something within you, in your spirit, and give you strength to keep on going, moving forward, and living a righteous life. Because before reaching the destination or the season of breakthrough the Lord promised you, the season of fulfillment, you have to live a life that is pleasing God in any kind of season. We have an expression in French, qu'il neige, qu'il pleuve. The snow might come down, the rain may fall down. You keep the promise you made to the Lord. And I believe if we do things the way David did them, we're going to succeed. Starting with our tongue. Controlling our tongue. Mastering our tongue. James chapter 3 is talking about the sin of the tongue, the power of the tongue. And he compares the tongue to this stuff that controls a big ship. How a big ship is depending on just that small piece of metal. And of course, the captain cannot move his ship without making sure that it's there. If you master your tongue, then in difficult seasons, you remain faithful to the Lord. You're going to remain faithful to the Lord. I heard a preacher saying, it's not over until it's over. And who's got the last word? It's the Lord. He's got the last word. He's the one who can say that it's over. As long as you are alive, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. God is faithful. In His faithfulness, He will not fail you. He will never fail you. Learn to be patient with Him. Learn to be patient with Him, because He is patient with you as well. A bit down in chapter 40, we found David saying, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Verse 2, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. You see where he was? In a horrible pit. In that horrible pit, 39, verse 1, he made a resolution to guard his ways, to remain faithful to God. Brothers and sisters, it's a personal choice that we have to make. A pastor cannot make that choice for me and you. A parent, a friend, cannot make that choice for me and you. Because when you gave your love to Jesus, it was about you and Him. And being faithful, it's also about you and Him. When I look, for instance, at this beautiful couple here, they're still young, in love, everything is rosy. They made a commitment to one another. Nobody was there. They can tell the story of their life, how it all started. Maybe he saw those beautiful eyes. Maybe she saw, I don't know what. She can tell us. Among thousands, she said, you are the man. But it happens that difficulties can come. They have each one to remind to oneself the first love. And when she or he looked at that first love, he can forgive, she can forgive. I don't think that mommy or daddy helped you to choose her. No. It was your choice. Among those 1,000 beautiful ladies out there, you chose her. It was a personal choice. A personal one. And that's how our relationship with the Lord is. It's personal. It's personal. We cannot expect somebody else to come step in between and push us to make a personal resolution to keep God's ways no matter what. In our terrible pit, misery, pain, fire burning inside our heart, no one can make that decision for us to remain in the right path. Usually when we are about to cross the finishing line, that's when the pressure of let it go comes. Discouragement, step in and say, just do whatever you want to do. Forget about that, God. For how long do you have to hold on? Keep on holding on. He is faithful. He is faithful. Be patient with him. David did. And he confessed in chapter 40 there that I have waited on the Lord patiently. To wait is one thing. But to wait patiently in another thing, the higher level. I have waited on the Lord patiently. As I'm ministering to you, I'm ministering to myself as well. Because I was looking at all the situations around my life. I start counting the years and days since I gave my life to Jesus. Look around at all the situations that may discourage me. And these words came to my spirit. Then I went through looking at David's life. What he was going through there was, as he said, he was in a horrible pit. What is your situation? Is everything rosy in your life now in this season? Praise God. Or are you facing some challenges, issues? You want to see God's hand moving in your life. God is here. And I repeat it, He's here. 39 verse 12, David pray and say, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my father were. He prayed. How much do you pray in your trouble? How much do you seek the face of the Lord? Or you just follow what the flesh is saying? What should you pray? He's God. He can see everything. Do you have to tell him what he's seen? He knows. He wants to hear your prayer, of course. And David prayed. He prayed. He prayed. But in this text, the beauty that I'm finding in it is these three first verses where this guy, in spite of the pain he's going through, he decided that me, David, or me, Dama, I will guard my ways. I will not allow my tongue to sin against God. I will restrain my mouth. Even when the wicked people are in front of me. Yeah, when those mad drivers get on your nerves, you restrain your mouth. You don't call them idiots. You restrain your mouth. Cynic. I remember my girl Deborah was telling me how all her friends in school, she's only near five, they have boyfriends. So the culture in which she's growing, it's normal for small children to have boyfriends and girlfriends. And this morning, my little one was describing the amount of love that one of her friends has for a boy of the class. That the boy, he loves her so much. more than his own mother. I don't know how she managed to measure it. But her friend, she loves him only half. She say, imagine this is the heart. Yeah, my friend loves him just this much. Say, wow. Well, in this culture, it's quite the normal for children growing in that path of boyfriends, girlfriends, to get into sin before even knowing that they are sinning. And it's a challenge for us parents, not putting pressure upon children, but teaching them and raising them in the way of the Lord. Putting a room for them to make personal decisions at the tender age. Without being dictators, but showing them options for them to choose the best one. Well, taking this example of children, that the issue my girls are facing today in school, but at your age, you have also peer pressure that comes from the media, from work, from wherever you are, according to the standard as well of your life and issues that you are facing. You can look around and say, no, why only me? Why only me? Because you're trying to measure yourself with friends or people of your age group. Or you measure yourself with other Christians. Maybe those who came same time with you to faith, or those who came before you or after you. As a church, for instance, it's not always a good feeling when you look at the corner, the church is flourishing in number, and we are going through this season of seeing empty chairs. So that feeling can come to compare ourselves to those big mega churches and wonder, what is going on? Are we still walking with the Lord? Or we have abandoned Him somewhere? Or He has forgotten us? Is there any need to carry on? Or shall we close our Bibles and stay home? Or forget all the promises the Lord gave us as a church and each one of us choose a mega church and join it? God is faithful. He is faithful. Make a resolution to keep His ways until you get to that day of the promise. Zina, help me, please. Habakkuk chapter 3. Read the first verses, 1-3. Habakkuk chapter 3, chapter 2. You can use this microphone. 2-4.
Yeah.
And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. Did you say verse 4 as well?
Thank you. Write the vision. And make it plain on tablet, that he may run who read it. It's a very good thing when the Lord gives you a promise. I said it before, either through a prophecy, a word of knowledge, or your personal devotion, your Bible reading, or hearing a sermon, or because the Lord speaks in one way or another. And each one of us should know how the Lord addresses himself to you. Because when it happens, you know for sure that that is the Lord. Maybe he spoke to you through a dream, a vision. It's a very good thing to write down all those promises. Because in a horrible pit, you have to remind yourself those promises, and they will give you the strength you need to have hope in what is coming tomorrow. He said, here it's the Lord commanding his servant to write down the vision, not just to listen to it, but to write it down. And that vision was meant to be distributed to people. But what is interesting here is that the vision was for an appointed time. It wasn't to be fulfilled immediately, no. An appointed time. We're talking about the future. And listen to this. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. When you receive a promise from the Lord, a month can pass, a year, or years can pass. Be patient with him. As David, apply your heart to wait patiently on the Lord until that promise come to pass. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because surely it shall come to pass. God is not a man to lie. And there is no mistake in what God is promising. There is no mistake at all. Everything he has promised you as an individual, everything he has promised as the church will come to pass. But in an appointed time. Time is in God's hands, not in my hands. That, you see, we become impatient according to our word. It was meant to be done. But master of time and circumstances, it's God, is not me and you. So, your promise that the Lord gave you, even if it tarries, keep on waiting. God is faithful. Wait patiently. David did. He waited patiently. At the end, he praised God. Because God took him from his horrible pit. He took him from the miry clay and put his feet grounded on a solid ground. And that's what the Lord wants to do with you. But you have to keep your ways and restrain your tongue to sin against God. Amen. The last thing, don't go for shortcuts. Shortcuts usually lead us into trouble. Big trouble. I've seen people becoming miserable in marriage because according to their time, everything was finished. So they went for a shortcut, trying to help God to fulfill His promise. I saw people seeking riches, going through shortcuts because they can't wait anymore. And the wealth they went for brought them misery and trouble. Be patient. God is faithful. He has not forsaken you, and He will never. He's your God. Amen. Let us stand and pray.